Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is 9 o'clock and it's time for a Talk Magic. And I have here on the channel somebody who has been on a Talk Magic episode before. And he's back, and he's back for a very particular reason. This is one of my favorite people in magic. He has done it all. He's been there. He's bought the t-shirt. He is an incredible, successful magician and also one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. I am, of course, talking about the legend himself, Lee Hathaway. How you doing, mate? You okay?
You got that right. That's everything I wrote down here. Well done,
Craig. Yeah, I was following the whole script that you gave me. So, but nah, seriously, Lee, your interview that we did a few months ago now was one of my best interviews. I didn't know everything that you spoke about. You know, all the different things that you've done in your career is incredible. And I really want everyone to go back and watch that if they haven't. And I'm so happy that you've come back. And I'm so happy that you've come back on the channel. Because there was a lot to talk about, wasn't there? And we've brought you on for a very particular reason, which we're going to get to in a second, but something very exciting, some really exciting news. But before we talk about that, I mentioned it off camera, but I want to congratulate you for the success of the Magic Circle convention, which must have been an absolute nightmare to organize. And as somebody who was watching the whole thing, it was incredible. It really was.
Thanks very much. Yeah, it was a fantastic day. We've had nothing but great feedback. And obviously, we should mention Michael J. Fitch as well, who worked tirelessly alongside with me to organise it and went way above and beyond the call of duty. And of course, you know, all the amount of volunteers and other people that everyone mucked in and gave a hand. We even roped you in to do some backstage work, didn't we? And of course, Ryland, your son, was performing and did a brilliant performance. We gave him a presentation afterwards, so the whole day was just such a lovely feel. Even had free ice cream at the end of it, so it's just brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, what convention do you get free ice cream? That like never happens.
So there we go.
that was awesome. But outside of that, you've obviously been keeping very busy. When I spoke to you before, the last time I interviewed you, you were kind of still in COVID, but now we've come out. I know you've been super busy performing all over the world, basically. And how you found time to do this, I don't know, because you're on the Magic Circle Council. You've been performing all over the place. I know you've done some of the boat trips over the summer as well, which is great. But outside of all of that, you told me that you've literally any day now got your first book that's going to be coming out that's been released.
I have, yeah. Well, I started actually writing it over COVID and sort of at the very beginning. And then I sort of went on that same journey. I think a lot of people went on where you were really motivated right at the beginning, you know, of the lockdown. And then, you know, everyone sort of started making soda bread and going, you know, doing some exercise and that sort of thing. And then, you know, then once it kicked in, it was going to go on for a bit longer than we all thought. You know, it just became, you know, totally demotivated, got fed up, you know, and thinking, why not sit around with a bottle of wine all day and do sod all, you know, watch Netflix. So then I sort of lost my way a bit with it, and then I got motivated again, and then once beginning of this year, really, we sort of probably started coming out of, you know, the pandemic to a large degree. And I said to one of my best mates, Scott, who's not a magician, but Scott's a brilliant PA person. He's very organised and worked for a lot of high-profile people doing exactly that sort of thing. And I just said to him, I've lost my mojo a bit to get this book done, you know, and we need to kick up the bum to sort it. And he said, if you want, I will do that. But you know that I'm good at this. And he didn't stop hounding me to for days and days and days and weeks. And it got finished. Yeah, but which very much thanks to Scott for his haranguing, I should say. But it got done. And also I worked together with it as well. Who's credited in the book? The wonderful Ian Rowland, who helped me hugely with some of the, you know, the typesetting, the editing, some of the wording and that sort of thing, you know, and really transformed a lot of it. So there again a sort of team effort, you know, of people, but it is it's what I wrote, and it's come out, so I hope it's a really nice book.
That's amazing. And when is it coming out, first of all? I've got several questions about this. So question number one, when is it coming out and where is it going to be available?
It is due to land on the 26th of September this month, so in about 9 days, and that's my birthday. That's my 46th birthday, so it's, so it's coming out on my birthday, yeah, hopefully.
That's awesome.
Initially, it's going to be, we were toying with using Amazon, but initially it's going to be available, just initially, it's going to be available on my website. There'll be a link, people can buy it internationally as well for international shipping, and it will be available. I'm doing a lecture tour from October onwards. I'm lecturing sort of up and down the country about sort of 20 different magic societies, some in Ireland as well. So I'm going all over the place, and so I'll be selling it at my lecture as well.
That's great. So tell me about the book. What's it about? First of all, what's the title of the book? How big is it? And what is the content?
So the book is called Happy Busy Magician. And it's 144 pages. I can tell you what it's printed on and all sorts. It's a king size book, so it's 6x9 inches, quite a big book, sort of standard large size. It's hardback, so it's a nice quality book. So it's about that size and sort of about that thick or so. I haven't seen quite how thick it is until we get it, but looking at other books around that size, you know, so it's easy to read, but it's not tiny either, you know, but it's not small. So it's just a decent sized book. And I wanted to write a book, especially over the lockdown stuff, you know, and I saw a lot of people that were, I thought, you know, there were a lot of these courses coming out about how to earn more money and how to earn big bucks, and I saw a lot of people I thought performing, you know, like close up magic, or I just thought there's nothing as I say in the book, you know, if you know, when you read it, that there's nothing wrong with any of that ambition and that sort of stuff. I just wanted to bring the focus back a bit more to actually what I think is important about being a great close up performer and being really good at doing close up. And so you'll see the theme through the book is obviously there's lots of sort of hints and tips and thoughts on how to be a much better close-up performer, you know, and some of those are business related, you know, some of them are performance related, and some of them are about looking after yourself and, you know, and embracing the magic community and all the sorts of things that you should be doing if you want to just be really, really great at doing close-up, you know. And I wanted to add a bit of love into it, you know, and something, and emphasize that magic should be fun. And so that's why, you know, there's some great cartoons through it with written by the amazing cartoonist Sheba Cassini, and the style of it as well is quite, you know, you'll know is quite conversational, and there's a few little anecdotes and jokes in it and stuff. So I wanted it to be quite a good feel-good book as well, you know. But my hope is that it's a sort of book that any close-up performer, anyone that wants to do close-up for a living or is either doing close-up for a living or aspiring to, can dip in and out of, and there will definitely be something in there that they can that there's a takeaway from it that they might not have thought about or might not have realized. And it's just come from, you know, 25 years experience of going out there and performing, you know, and every time I've had an idea or I've thought of something, you know, and you'll know this because you're an experienced performer as well, sometimes you come across something you think that's brilliant, that's going in every set, well, that's a great way of dealing with that situation, you know. And so that's what I've tried to include in the book is as much of that information as possible.
That's really great. That's great. So I suppose the question that I know everyone's going to be thinking, is there tricks in there? Is it a book of tricks, or is it more of a kind of a how-to guide to being a successful professional close-up magician?
So it's definitely more of a how-to guide. The subtitle of the book is how to be better, busier and happier doing close-up, you know. And there's a real emphasis on the happier side of that as well, because I see a lot of magicians who are working close up who are either fed up or jaded with it, you know, and it's not all about just being better or busy all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to feel fulfilled in what you're doing. So there's an emphasis about, you know, there's an impetus to try and make people realize why they, you know, and ask why you're doing it in the first place, you know, and is it, you know, and to feel fulfilled doing close up. There is one effect in it. I allude to in the beginning of the book. I say there's far too many books on tricks. We've got hundreds of thousands of effects to choose from. I don't think we need any more effects, really. You know, and a lot of them are variations on something else that's already been and gone. But I'm not certain we need more effects, really, especially if you want to work professionally at any standard. But I have put one in it, which is my version of Anniversary Waltz, which is called Anniversary Triumph. And the reason I put it in is because it's a routine that I'm most proud of. It's a routine I actually do perform when I'm out there working. It's not, you know, everyone. So many people say, "Oh, this is in my set," and you think, "Well, you've got about 5,000 things in your set now," you know. But I mean, this is genuinely something I do when I'm performing, and it's a routine I've worked over years. And the reason it's in there, A, because I'm really proud of it. B, because it's a great routine to do for weddings or couples or anniversaries, and also it captures the performance of it, and all the elements of it capture a lot of the things that I write about in the book. So I just thought it was a really nice way of wrapping up a lot of the points that I make in the book about how to perform something that's great and memorable and that people remember afterwards, that gets you rebooked, that, you know, is a talking point and focus point. There's so many aspects of that routine that I think lend themselves to other points that are made throughout the book. So that's why it's in there, and it's a great routine.
That's great.
I do say I think at the beginning of it something along the lines of most magic books, a lot of magic books you get which are sort of full of tricks, you know, you tend to find, and this is not always the case, there are some, you know, there are definitely exceptions to this rule, but very often you tend to find that there's maybe one or two bits of gold in it and the rest is filler and stuff where they've had to think that, you know, I need to, but we all know that, you know, and so I've saved everyone the trouble, because if I wrote a magic book, that's probably what it'd be like. So there's no filler or nonsense. There's just one really, really good routine in it. But it's not supposed to be about a book of magic tricks. You know, don't buy it just for the book. You can if you want, but it's in there to make a point, really, and capture all the other stuff that I've written about, you know.
That's great. I mean, that's amazing. You made a point there about becoming a happier magician. I don't think anybody has ever written a book about that subject before, at least I can't think of one. And since COVID, I've been looking on Facebook and I've seen a lot of relatively big name magicians, especially in the UK, that post on Facebook and they go, you know what, I'm getting out of magic soon, I'm not enjoying it, or I feel like I'm going through the motions, or things seem to be different from COVID, why am I still doing this? I've seen so many people drop out of magic or do it and they're not enjoying it, but they're doing it because they think it's, you know, the only thing they can do or whatever. And that has happened more and more since COVID. And I think that this book is coming at just the right time, because there are a lot of people that I think need to hear the message that you're putting across in this.
Thanks for that, Craig. Yeah, I appreciate that. And as I say, it's not entirely focused on that. There's aspects of the business side of magic, there's aspects of performing, but certainly it's something that I wanted to emphasize. And for exactly the reasons you point out, actually, that I see a lot of people that are either unhappy or jaded doing it, and, you know, or worse still, you know, have genuine mental health anxiety over some of the things, you know, there's, you know, the some of the online bullying that's, you know, very unpleasant, or, you know, or not feeling that they're adequate enough because someone's doing better than them, you know, and sadly, in some extreme cases, you know, we've got friends and colleagues who've taken their own lives at the most extreme length, you know, which is really sad, and that has to stop, you know. And And so that conversation, I think, about, you know, I'm no expert, but the conversation about mental health and just looking after yourself and appreciating, you know, that, you know, Magic is a great community and you are loved, and there's a really good, you know, there's a lot of people that are out there, that there's a great support network in Magic and that sort of thing. It's a conversation that needs to, you know, that I'm very much, you know, willing to, you know, contribute to. I don't know if I've started it, I think, but certainly it's something that needed to be said. And as you say, there aren't any books, there's no Magic books on that, as far as I know. Do you know what I mean? You know, I mean, you could say there's things like, you've got Darren Brown's book with Happy, or, you know, so there's books along that line, but I wanted a Magic book that sort of included a bit of that as well. And as I say, it's absolutely not a self-help guide or anything like that. You know, that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a feel-good book, and, you know, and it's supposed to just remind people, you know, I think, you know, I mean, for example, you know, there's a section in it, which, if you've read, say, remind yourself why you got into Magic, you know, and I talked to Richard Young about this before, and I used to do this sporadically, but now I make it into an exercise and actually make a point of setting some time aside every month to just do things like, you know, I buy the old Magic sets that, you know, I try and trawl eBay, try to buy the old Magic sets that I had when I was a kid, you know, or I spend some time going through some of the kids' Magic books that I used to read, you know. You know, check out on YouTube, or even I actually own an old one of those all-in-one CRT TV with video players, so I can play my old VHS tapes, you know, and watch some of the old Magic shows. And that's a really good brain exercise, you know, even if you've not been into Magic that long, you know, check out some stuff beforehand. But it's just such a good brain exercise, and by constantly reminding yourself what you love about Magic, or and why you got into it, you don't end up becoming jaded and fed up, which I think, which you see a lot of people do, and that, you know, that and so things like that, you know, are just really important to keep that sort of buzz and that flame alive. And when you see a performer, you know, I mean, a great example, actually, I'll come back to Ryland, because when you saw Ryland performing on Sunday, when you see someone that really loves Magic doing it, it's just so infectious and it's so great, and they're instantly better than anyone else you could watch who just feels a bit jaded and fed up with it. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, because it's just infectious. You go, this boy just loves Magic, and it's great to watch, you know, and to be able to do that, you can't fake that, you know, it's just not possible to fake. And so when you see a great close-up performer, and, you know, and I'm not going to name any names, but I could do, you know, who I think are really good close-up performers, you know, the key thing they've got is they still really love doing close-up Magic, you know, so I've tried to write about and capture the things you should be doing to make sure that that's still the case.
That's great. That's fantastic. And you've mentioned close-up Magic a few times. Is this a book that somebody who doesn't do close-up Magic could get something out of? We're talking kids entertainers, stage performers, illusionists, mentalists, mimes. I don't know. Would other people get something out of this as well?
I've actually given it to some people that aren't close-up performers to sort of pre-read and that sort of thing, who work in other industries, and they've really enjoyed it and said that they actually took some stuff out of it and found it really interesting and fascinating. Who aren't strictly close-up performers. So I would say there's definitely stuff in it for them. And also, quite, you know, I've read books about, you know, subjects that aren't Magic, you know, which is one of the recommendations I make, actually, you know, is to sort of, you know, broaden your horizons beyond, you know, I've read books by professional comedians, by professional dancers and, you know, choreographers and things like that, where, you know, you can take a lot from listening to what other people say about their particular, expertise, if they're passionate about it. But having said that, I don't want to mislead anybody. You know, it is written specifically for close-up performers. That's what I wrote it for. You know, I know there were books out there for Magic, you know, Ian Keeble's stand-up comedy Magic, there's books about stage Magic and that sort of thing. This really was written specifically for people, you know, that either perform close-up Magic in some aspect, either amateur, semi-professional, or professional, or aspire to go out there and do, you know, whether it's gigs or work for money, or, you know, and just Yeah, and that's who it was aimed at, really. You know, that's who I wrote it for. And I wrote it for that because that's what I do, you know, and that's what I've done for 20 plus years. And so I know full well when I'm writing about that, I can absolutely write about it with a level of authority and an air of integrity and honesty, because it's something that I absolutely know about, you know. So I'd hope I do by now, Craig, anyway. There's a lot of things I don't know about. So.
And I said at the beginning, you're one of the most successful close-up magicians in the UK. You are. And that's why you're the perfect person to write this book. You've been there. You've bought the T-shirt. You've done it all. And I don't think there's an environment or a type of close-up magic that you haven't performed at this point at somewhere in your career. You know, you've done it all at a very high level, very successfully.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's funny you say about the environment, some of the places you end up you end up working, you know, on top of a double-decker bus moving around London, you know, in a capsule above the Thames and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, yeah, some very strange places. I've even performed magic on a submarine before now. So, yeah, all over the place, yeah.
Mad. Absolutely mad. So you mentioned business advice. I know that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to, their ears are going to prick up, because one thing that I've also noticed since COVID is, and since people have been more confident in wanting to organize entertainment and organize events, is magicians are wanting more work. They're wanting to get more work. And the problem is, up until not too long ago, the solution was simple. Put yourself an advert in the Yellow Pages, put your feet up and wait for the phone to ring, or contact an agent and get the agent to do all the work for you. But these days, that doesn't really work anymore. And you have to kind of know how to market yourself to a greater or lesser degree. You need to understand about putting yourself out there. How much of the book is devoted to business? And for those magicians that have maybe come through COVID and they're now in a situation where they're struggling to get work and they want to get more work,
yeah,
is that content going to help them?
So I've written about in the book some key things that I think people should be doing that are fundamental to running a good magic business, you know, and yet you still see people that don't do them, you know. So I've put those in the book, and I've also talked a bit, you know, there is a section about it in terms of what's the best form of advertising and how to market yourself and get more work. But it's not designed to be an entire book on everything you should be doing when you're running a business. There's individual pointers in it that are really key things, I think, to being successful. But the overwhelming thing, and I won't go into too much detail. I'd say to people, read the book, because I do talk about what the question you've asked in quite some detail. But on that. Aspect in particular, I would say read the book, because if I try and explain it without sort of the context that it's in within the book, it won't make much sense. But sorry for a bit of a cryptic one on that, Craig, but I do, as you know, I do talk about that in the book quite a lot, but I think it's something people need to read rather than me sort of sit here and paraphrase, you know, individual sentences about what I've written about that.
Yeah, that I totally understand. It sounds to me that it's a little bit of everything. It's, hey, how to be happy when you're performing, how to perform, how to, you know, how to get more work. Like I say, it sounds like a how-to guide to be a successful professional close-up magician.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, that's 100% what it is. Yeah, yeah. How to be better, busier, and happier doing close up. You know, and that's, you know, and it's all of those things, and that's what I wanted it to be, because there's no point in, you know, there's the old saying goes, two out of three ain't bad, but it's no good if you want to really be good at this. You need to be all three of those things. You know, you can be incredibly busy, you know, and have gigs left, right, and centre, but not be, you know, I know, you know. good friend of mine who was, you know, was giving away work left, right, and centre, and going and working, had more gigs you can ever imagine, but just stopped enjoying doing close-up magic. You know, and they moved on and did something else, and you know, and now they feel really happy and fulfilled doing that. But they knew, you know, and that's the smart thing to know, is they knew when to get out, you know, and they knew when to call it a day because they stopped enjoying it, you know, and that's, you know, and that's a really key thing, I think, is if you stop, you know, is I've always said the day, you know, the day I stop enjoying performing close up, I'll do, you know, or performing magic for people, I'll find something else to do because it's, you know, there's no point. So I've lost my train of thought a bit there
You're talking about all three, and all three are important.
Yeah. So it is all three of those things because, and it's also, I think, the key things that about all three of those things. So it's, you know, there are, as you know, as I say in the introduction to the book, you know, there are better, bigger, and greater tomes on each of those individual subjects. You know, there's great books on, you know, marketing yourself and running a business. You know, some of the Seth Godin books like Permission Marketing and that sort of stuff. But not even magic books, you know, customer satisfaction is worthless, customer loyalty is priceless, you know, there's whole tones on you know, really on successfully running a business and that sort of thing. But what I wanted to include, I think, were some of the key things, the really fundamental things that and some of them might seem obvious and some of them people might be doing already. If you are, great, because it's because, you know, there's affirmation that you're doing the right thing. But a lot of the time, actually, you know, I see so-called professionals, you know, and even people who I consider very good, making real fundamental mistakes and just not, you know, or just not doing things they should be doing, you know. And it's surprising, really, you know. And if you want to say, you know, I don't like blowing my own trumpet, but I mean, you said that, you know, if you want to know how to be really good at doing close-up and do it for, you know, and do it for a living and be a success at it, you know, year after year in and out of COVID, which I have done, you know, and I've, you know, I have got the t-shirt 100%, then I think that it's, you know, it's definitely, it's worth the read, it's worth people's time and attention, because I'm obviously doing something right in that respect.
You are 100%, and it's really interesting that you talk about if you stop enjoying it, you'd leave. Because is there another option to that? If people stop enjoying doing magic, and I'll tell you what I mean by this. Like, I've met magicians who have said to me, "Oh, I'm not feeling magic anymore. I'm going through the motions, but I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave the industry." Yeah. But then I remember at the London Magic Convention last year, Andy and Preston's convention, I bumped into Rob James. And now Rob James, for me, was the close-up magician. Like, he was everywhere. He was, you search close-up magician, he was on top of everything. He had more gigs that he knew what to do with. I remember seeing competition act at the IBM with the laptop and the gags and everything. And I'm like, that's the best competition act ever. And I bumped into him. And I was like, oh, hi, Rob. And he was like, yeah, I don't do magic anymore. And for me, he was like one of the busiest, funniest, most successful, somebody I actually looked up to. And then he just made the decision to walk away, and he was really happy with it. And he was at the convention as a sort of a hobbyist, but he didn't perform anymore. And he looked really happy. And I remember thinking, oh, it's so sad that Rob's no longer really kind of, but he didn't seem sad. So why should I? Do you know what I mean? Is there another option, or is it the best thing to do to walk away?
It's interesting you mentioned Rob, actually. I love Rob. He's such a nice guy. And as you said, great magician. And I don't mention any, one or two, but when I've had permission, but I don't mention any names in the book. But I thought of Rob a few times when I was writing sections. I hadn't written it specifically for him or about him, but he crossed my mind a few times with some of the stuff I was writing because of his story in that respect, you know. I do think there are, there's definitely other options. People become jaded and fed up about stuff all the time, you know. But hence why, you know, some of the sections in the book, you know, allude to things like, you know, how to get your mojo back from magic. There's a section called Mix It Up and Ditch It Up, which is about staying fresh and not kind of,
getting so ingrained into the same old routine and same old set that you become tired and bored with it, you know. So there's a whole section on tips of how to, you know, how to chop and change your magic and your routines, and not just the tricks themselves, but actually the style of performance, the way you do them, and that sort of thing, so that actually it's fresh and it's new to you and it's still exciting, you know. So I've written about that in great detail in the book, you know. So that's a real crux of, you know, some of the sections in it, actually, you know, are about maintaining your love and your interest and your passion for magic when you're performing. Of course there are other options. Some people can take a break and then find, you know, that it's down to the individual, really, in that respect, isn't it? You know, some people, you know, go away, learn something new and find a new love or passion for it. I remember, funny enough, I was chatting to Richard Young the other day, you know, and he became really jaded and fed up doing close-up, really hated it, you know. And then he went away, did his tour, had a bit of a break, and he said he's just got some new stuff and some new ideas, and he's sort of trying a slightly new style of performing when he's doing close-up, and he's loving it, you know. He said he's absolutely loving going out and doing gigs again, you know. And the thing is that you can chance upon that by just doing naturally what feels right. You can chance upon it by going, you know, Richard had the opportunity with COVID and with the tour to go away and do it, and then he just bought some new stuff and happens to have got a few gigs, you know, which is great. But what I've put in the book is, you know, ways of being aware of that and ways of dealing with it before it happens and coping with that, you know, and strategies and things that we do as professionals, you know, that kind of maintain that and keep what you're doing fresh, you know. And when you're performing, not only can you look, you know, not only can you feel fed up or tired or jaded, but actually that can come across to an audience as well, you know. And I make a point about, I used to perform a two cup routine, like a sort of David Williamson, Tommy Wonder type two cup routine, cups and balls, and I did it for probably the first like 5 or 6 years of my career professionally, you know. And it used to go down the storm, and then I just noticed over a period of time that it just wasn't getting the reaction it used to get, and I couldn't really understand why. And when I sort of really broke it down, it's because I'd become sort of bored of doing it, and I was doing it almost with my eyes closed, you know, and sort of just going through the motions and doing the gags through the motions, and so it become tired, you know. And I say in the book, you know, I've spoken to people who've gone and seen, you know, it happens to everybody, you know. I've spoken to people who've gone and seen David Copperfield in Las Vegas, you know, and said, oh, he looks a bit fed up, like he's just going through the motions, you know. And that's, you know, arguably the greatest magician on the planet, you know. So it can happen to anyone. So again, there's tips and techniques in there for, you know, for avoiding that eventuality before it happens, you know. So I think just the fact that there's now a book out there, or will be in 10 days, you know, that makes magicians aware of these pitfalls and that sort of thing, you know, hopefully would do some good.
Absolutely, 100%. And one last question, where can two last questions. Number one, how much is the book going to be?
£20.
That's good. Wow.
Yeah, I wanted to, I have to say that, I mean, Richard Young commented, and because I gave him a copy to read beforehand, I had a chat with him, and he said I can't believe you've put all this information into a book for, you know, for that price. You know, people pay fortunes to go on courses and learn less than you've stuck in here. You know, there's some really good information in this, and his comment, which is on the back of the book, is he said honestly anyone reading this, they'll have had their money's worth by page 30. You know, and it's 144-page book, so that's you know, that's what Richard said about it, is you'll have had your money's worth by page 30. So but I toyed with making it more expensive. I definitely think it's worth more in terms of what's in it, you know. I mean, very, you know, the amount of magic books and lectures and, you know, stuff I've trawled through, you know, and you'll know this as, you know, as a professional, you know, if you go through, you know, a whole book and get one thing out of it, you know, then it's gold, you know. You know, that's all you need, you know, is, or you go, you know, you can watch a, you know, a whole lecture and then just take one thing. So, and I think there's definitely more than one thing to be, you know, to be taken out of my book for anybody that's reading it. So I do think it's good value, but I want people to own it and read it and have it on their shelves, you know, because it wasn't just I didn't write it as a sort of, you know, oh, let's, you know, I perform magic professionally. That's why I've never put out huge amounts of product, because I perform magic professionally for a living, and that's what earns me my money. So it's very much a labour of love, as it was, you know, oh, here's a book we can make a few quid out of, you know. But hopefully, if we, you know, if it sells well, and, you know, and I make a bit out of it, great. But the idea was to actually put something out there that was that I thought needed to be said. You know, that was my motivation for writing it, more than, you know, let's not have a book to make a few quid. You know, it was more the case of there's no one's written about this, you know, and no one's put it down, and also in my style as well, which is, you know, you'll know when you go, you know, when you go through the book, you can see it's written in a very sort of, you know, sort of conversational style. It's got short, but it's easy. It's an easy read. It's not something you've really got to, you know, concentrate on and delve into. It's written as a conversation, you know, and there's some funny bits in it, and there's a couple of gags and some, you know, and some anecdotes and that sort of thing. And that's how I wanted it to be, you know.
That's great. Yeah. And I know that there's going to be people that are going to be listening to this that live abroad, and they're going to have two questions. So let's just quickly address those questions. One, I know you've said that it's your ship all over the world, which is great, but I know that there's some people in different countries, and I know this in doing the channel for so long, that want to buy it from their local dealer. Will eventually it go into somewhere like Murphy's after you've sold it for a while?
Or yeah, I'm hoping so.
Yeah, is that something that might?
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping so. I've got a very good relationship with Murphy's. I've put stuff in there before, so yeah, we'll definitely be in discussion to do that. I one way or another, you know, as I said to you, it was a labour of love for me, and it was something that I really felt should be out there for magicians, close-up magicians. And part of the reason for that, you know, there are bits in it that have been said before, but I think there's a lot that hasn't. And so I really wanted, you know, I looked at the magic, well, especially the performance of close-up magic, which I know about, and I thought, here's some stuff that needs to be said that people need to know if they're going to do this, you know, in any kind of capacity for a living, or even do, you know, even just do the odd gig here and there, you know. And so you know, my friend Lee Warren, who's a great speaker and keynote speaker, you know, has done some wonderful lectures at the Magic Circle and that sort of thing, is, you know, a bit of a legend in that world, really. And he read it and his first comment was, this is a love letter to the performance of close-up magic. And I really liked that, and I thought that was such a nice way of capturing it, because that's exactly what I wanted it to be, you know. And it was like, you know, it was written from the point of view of actually someone that really loves it and wants to extend that to other people, you know, and capture that for other people and make them, you know. And so that was another, you know, another great sort of testimonial, was, you know, a quote, because I thought it really captured the book really well, you know. Going back to your question, I absolutely want to make sure it's available to, you know, to everyone worldwide. We've looked at, as I say, we have looked at putting it on Amazon. I'll be talking to Murphy's about it, but initially, you know, we've only done a short one, you know. There's 500 copies initially, which I've got for the lectures and to go on my website. And then, you know, if it's popular and there's a demand, then, you know, we'll look at a sort of wider distribution, you know, a bigger distribution channel. But for the time being, it's just available on my website and if you see me personally at lectures.
And you've mentioned a few times about the lecture tour you're doing in the UK. When is that happening, and where can we find out the details of which?
It's starting on the, let's have a look. I should put something up, really, shouldn't I? You're right, yeah. It's starting on the 3rd of October. I am in Ulster, over in Belfast, County Antrim, at the Ulster Magic Society. And then in Wolverhampton on the 5th of October. And then there's a jump to the Zone. I won't read them all out, but yeah, I'm doing about 15 or 20 lectures right through to sort of early February next year. I will put a list of them up somewhere. What I'll do is I'll stick it on my website with all the dates on it, and then I'll let you know, and at some point you can share that with your viewers. So
yeah,
and I'll put it on my socials as well. Yeah,
more than happy to do.
But what I would say is, if anyone is watching and they're a member of a local magic club and I'm not booked to perform there, go and ask them why and get in touch, because I'd love to. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And on that point, people can contact you and also buy the book from your website, which is?
www.leehathawaymagic.co.uk, and then it'll be /book.
Perfect. And there's going to be a link on there that you can get. And is it live now? Can they pay now and it'll be shipped out when you receive them? Or
we are. I was advised when I put the book together. I spoke to a few people that have done books and put books together before, and the advice I got was don't put it up for sale until it's 100% there and ready. Just because I don't want to let anybody down, and I don't want to, so I will have confirmation from the publisher this week that it's done and it's going to be shipped on the Monday. And once I've got that, we'll put it up for sale. So it's going to go up in the next few days. But probably, I don't know when you're putting this interview out, but it may even be up by that time. If so, I'll let you know and you can share the link. But I just wanted to make absolutely sure that there's no hiccups or problems before I start taking people's money and sticking it in my bank account rather than theirs.
Yeah. That's a really good point. And one last question. If you could drop one golden nugget for people that have been listening to this interview, one golden nugget for the close-up performers that are listening to this interview, what golden?
Oh, that's put me on the spot, hasn't it?
Well, I know you could probably do a 2-hour lecture on the subject, but if there's one thing that you could say, what would it be?
That's really put me on the spot. I think you might have to refilm that bit and give me a minute to think of an answer for you. Oh, dear.
I can imagine you've got so much stuff that you could talk about.
Pull up the book actually, and just go through the. I mean, there's about 60 odd sections in it, but. One thing that sticks out to me, which I think is really important, is the idea of catering for everybody, which is something I learned on when I was performing out in a contract in Gran Canaria, and I noticed a lot of families with children and that sort of thing. And I'd never really done kids' magic before. I even had to entertain them, because I'd always done sort of adult parties and that sort of stuff. So I ended up learning balloon modelling, sponge at the balls, that sort of thing. And that's really served me well over the years by just having that extra string to my bow. You know, and I'm not suggesting everyone learns sponge balls or balloon modelling, might not be their bag, but just the idea of, you know, as a professional, just having stuff for every possible eventuality. You know, I'm not a big fan of this only carry 7 tricks with you, you know, and only do, you know, your exact set by rote. You know, I think it's lazy, and I think it's not, to me, it's not the mark of a professional. A professional should be, you know, someone that is not fazed by any situation or any given situation at all. You know, goes like, I've dealt with this before, I know how to deal with it. You know? And to that end, you know, being able to cater for everybody in every situation, I think is really important. And you don't have to be, you know, that doesn't mean pulling out sponge balls or balloon models at some point. You know, you might only do card magic. For, you know, some people only do cards, you know, but then learn a spelling trick like, He Who Spelt It Dealt It, David Williamson's effect, where they spell the card, you know, or a counting trick like the 3 card trick or something. Because kids might not necessarily know about playing cards. You know, if you've got a 5-6-year-old child, they might not know 3 of hearts, 7 of diamonds, some of them don't, you know, but they do know how to count to 4, which is all they've got to know, you know, to do that trick. You know, so straight away, there's a trick you can do in that situation, you know. So that was a really, I talk about having, you know, on that theme, I talk about having visual effects, you know, and there's some great examples, you know, things like D lights, double crossed, card on ceiling, you know, anything that's really visual, because there are times when you perform for people where there's a language barrier, you know, or where there's a really loud band in the background, or where it's quite dark and they can't see what you're doing, you know. So that aspect of catering for everybody and having, you know, and being able to know what to do in any given performing situation, I think is really important, you know. And it's no good when you see, you know, And I've seen this often when people say, you know, I've got my, you know, these are my 10 tricks that go in my pockets that I do. And I think, what would you do in some of the situations I've been thrown into? Do you know what I mean? That's, you know, that's great if you're getting the exact sort of gigs you want to do, you know, and in the exact environment you want to do. But that's not what happens when you do this for a living. And if you want to know how to be good at this and be successful at it, you know, then you have to be able to cope with all those situations, you know. And if you're not getting enough gigs, it's because you're not doing those things right, you know. You know, that's you know, I come from very much from the background of being a worker, you know, and someone that's gone out and grafted and done close-up magic for a living, you know. And you can cite, I know we've had conversations about this before, and you cite people like Etienne and Faye and Paul Martin, and, you know, and the reason those people have done it and actually made and done well at it, you know, as have I, is because of things like that, you know. And that's why that's in the book, you know. It's important to observe. You can't just go, here's the 7 tricks, you know, and that's going to cover me for everything I do, you know. So that ain't happening, mate, you know. And you'll find you're going to have to do a lot of marketing, you know, to constantly get new jobs in, because you know you're not going to get rebooked on that basis, you know.
Well, on that subject, you take out of your act sometimes. Like, for example, I'll give you a perfect example. I took Double Cross out of my act. You mentioned Double Cross just because I was going to gigs. And I was getting people saying to me quite often, oh, I saw a magician do that at a wedding last week, or I saw a magician do that at an event last week. And I'm like, I'm trying to make myself as unique as possible here and sell myself as somebody who does stuff that nobody else does. I'm going to have to remove it from my act. And it was a fine change, because I love the trick, but I couldn't at the time see any choice. If I wanted to, like, put myself across as somebody who does stuff that other people don't do.
Yeah, it's really interesting you say that, because, like, there's a section in my book which is called sort of talks about not being afraid of doing popular magic. I'm surprised. It's interesting that people have seen, like, double. You know, I can understand with Double Cross actually at a wedding or something. And people have been to weddings, you know, people perform and do it. But I talk about not being afraid of popular magic in the sense that, you know, there's this, you know, and it's a contentious. I say at the beginning, it's contentious, and not everyone's going to agree with this. And I don't expect anyone to agree with it in the book. You know, a lot of those things, you know, it's a conversation, you know, and then in fact, you know, really the. I think the best people to read it probably, you know, if everyone reads the whole book and agrees with absolutely everything, then they probably haven't read it properly, you know, because that's not the idea of it. A lot of it is conversation, you know, making some points that have worked for me, but I also make the point that you've got to learn what works for you, you know. But going back to that thing about Double Cross, I talk about not being afraid of popular magic. I don't know if Double Cross is a great example, but it is about not, you know, not like things like people say, I don't do ambitious cards because everybody does it. Why don't you want me to get everyone does it? Stuff like that, you know. And yet, if you take a lot of those things, you can take and make your own and put unique twists on. And, you know, if you think about, you know, Jeff McBride still does the Miser's Dream in his act, you know, and it's a great routine, you know. Jeff Hobson turns the egg bag into sort of 10 minutes of comedy gold, you know. Michael Finney does Cut and Restored Rope, you know, and all those things are standard fare, you know. They're standard tricks, but they make them look amazing. So I do think magicians sometimes shy away from the, you know, I think if the best reason you've got not to do something is everyone does it, then there's probably a reason why they do it, because it's a good effect. I don't happen to think that about a Double Cross, actually. I don't think that it's. I'm going to shoot myself now. I don't think it's a very good effect, so I don't do it.
Oh, okay, that's cool. That's an interesting point.
I think it doesn't tick the boxes of what. If, in fact, there's a section in the book. So this is where I'm talking about the performance of magic. So there's a section in the book where I talk about the theory of false illusions and the Tamariz book, The Magic Way, and some of the techniques that you can use to eliminate methods and that sort of thing. And I very much feel, you know, and this is, you know, and again, I talk from experience here. I very much feel that, you know, if you're performing close-up magic for a living or magic for a living, and people are going, that's really clever, that's really smart, or they're amazed at the moment, but they're not still talking about it in an hour's time, or it's gone or forgotten about, then you haven't really created magic and you haven't done it properly, you know. And I know that because I know that I get rebooked all the time, you know, and I get people phone me after 2 years and remember stuff. And that's because you've done magic properly and you've actually created a magic moment in their mind that they can't explain. And there's ways and means of doing that. And double-crossed is a great effect there and then, but people walk away and I guarantee you they work out what you did.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they backtrack and they work out what you did because it's too perfect. You must have touched them at some point. You know, they will, that is not something they will remember and talk about in weeks, years to come. It's something that's impressive at the moment, and then their mind goes, and that's why I don't think it's a very good effect.
Yeah, no, you know, it's interesting you say that because I did I do this thing on my channel called the Matt test. Yeah. When I perform a trick on Matt, a friend of mine who's a layman, and I get his opinion on the trick. And I did double cross him a few weeks ago. Yeah. And he actually said, yeah, he was deconstructing it and he was actually thinking about it. He's like, well, you must have touched me. I don't know when it happened, but the only logical way of you doing this is you must have put it on me. You know? So, yeah, I totally see where you're coming from because that's
absolutely, and you know, and again, this is why, you know, in my book, it's not just about, you know, we've talked about the business side and the happiness side and that sort of stuff, but there's actually a whole section on, you know, on actually doing really good magic and knowing what it is to create good magic, you know. So I always perform magic with my sleeves rolled up. You know, I'm not suggesting everybody does that, it's up to them, but I always roll my sleeves up because I don't want it to be a method that people can limit, that people can think about. You should leave people with, you know, if you're a magician and you're performing magic, then that's what you should be doing, you know. Darren Brown writes about this in Confessions of a Conjurer. It's a great book, and I mentioned it a couple of times in my book because he writes about that deconstruction of a magic effect, you know. And people, you know, good close-up performers should really be aware that it's no good if you've got a great reaction at the time, but when you leave, they deconstruct it and it stops being magic. But because you've lost in that point, they're not going to remember you when it comes around to their birthday party or their wedding or recommending a magician to someone. What makes you memorable as a magician, A, is obviously being likable and people liking you and the fact they thought they had a good time. But what makes you memorable as a magician is being able to do real good magic that they can't explain the sticks with. I do think a lot of people fail on that because they don't give enough thought to what it is they're actually doing. That's a great experiment you did with your friend there, you know, is to show, and I say this, funny enough, I say this in my book, there's a bit in my book where I say, you know, here's an experiment, go, you know, most lay people are very polite, they'll clap and they'll say that's great and applaud, but then they'll do it, go and show some people you know some of the routines you do, right, and then ask them to be brutally honest with you about how they thought it worked. And if they've got any idea, it doesn't have to be the right method, any idea at all, then it's not magic. You know, it's not going to be remembered. You know, so that's, I think that's, you know, and that's a, and don't, you know, I don't think any close-up performer should be sort of nonchalant as to what an important point that is, because that is what gets you rebooked. That's what gets you remembered, you know. And no amount of Yellow Pages, Facebook, Google advertising in the world is as good as someone walking around going, oh my God, you won't believe what I saw. You know, 10, 12 months later, do you know what I mean? Still telling that story. That's better than anything you can do. So that's what you know, they're things you need to work on. Yeah. There we are.
I've got to tell you, this whole interview has been a masterclass in how to perform close-up magic. And genuinely, if anybody's watching this, this is the sort of stuff you're going to see in Lee's book. This is why you need to spend the £20 to get Lee's book, because he's been there, he's done it, he's bought the T-shirt, he's been incredibly successful, he knows what he's talking about. And I don't think there's anyone better to write a book like this than you, Lee. I think that it's going to be amazing. And I can't wait to get my hands on a copy. I think it's going to be brilliant.
Thanks, Greg. That's really kind of you, mate. Cheers.
It really is. It really is. So I'm going to put a link down below.
25 quid to you, by the way, mate.
No problem. But I expect it to be fine.
one of the one of the rest.
That's amazing. But I'm going to put a link down below where people can order the book, and if you can give me a link to where the lecture dates are, I'll put a link down to that as well. And if you are, like Lee said, if you've got a club, if you've got a society and you haven't got Lee booked in, why not? You know, he's got this brand new lecture based around the book. Go and book him, get him into the society. Lee is not only one of the nicest people in magic, he's incredibly knowledgeable, and he's somebody who knows what he's talking about because he's done it. It's not, you know, he's done it. He's talking from experience. So go buy the book, go tell your society to book Lee's lecture. Lee, I can't wait to see you again. Thank you so much. I know you're going to run off, but thank you so much for finding the time to jump on the channel and chat to me. I really appreciate it.
Bless you. Thanks, mate. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Love you loads. And I'll catch you later. Hope to see you soon. Cheers, Greg.
Awesome, bye, guys. Mate. See you again soon. Don't forget, leave a comment down below. Lee will read it. Let me know what you think, and I will see you again soon right here on Magic TV.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast. Magic, magic. Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel. Magic TV. Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV. Or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.